All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So today we're going to focus on Kapitel Chaf Dalet, chapter 24. So just a quick review. We began this kapitel last week, and we focused on the idea last week of the David Mizmor. This concept that the Gemara points out is actually interesting. We just learned it. Daf Yomi just did this exact Gemara of Mizmor LeDavid versus LeDavid Mizmor yesterday. And we pointed out the idea that LeDavid Mizmor versus Mizmor LeDavid, there were times that David HaMelech felt in a state of elated spiritual inspiration, and then there were times when David HaMelech had to self-inspire. So we pointed out that Mizmor LeDavid and David HaMelech, when he had to self-inspire, used music as the medium to lift up his neshama. So Mizmor LeDavid means there are times when David HaMelech was not inspired, had to inspire himself, Mizmors, through Zemira, and ultimately LeDavid, then David comes into his own. And then there were other times where LeDavid, Mizmor, David HaMelech was in a state of inspiration already. So we pointed out that Kapitel Chaf Dalet is the first time, we haven't been through so much of Sefer Tehillim, but the first time we've come across LeDavid Mizmor. And we focused last week is why is David HaMelech in such a state of elation? So he pointed out that the Mefarshim explained that this kapitel was written after David HaMelech purchased the area from Aravna HaYevusi, the area in Yerushalayim that would later on serve as the home to the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech is in such a state of elation that he sings LeDavid Mizmor. We pointed out last week why did this make David HaMelech so incredibly happy? We went through a number of different approaches, but we ended up with last week this idea that although David HaMelech wanted more than anything to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech found happiness and found completion in what his tachlis was. He wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, but that's not what God wanted of him. What God wanted of him was to purchase the location so that his son could build the Beis HaMikdash. And we pointed out last week that in life, one of the greatest accomplishments, people spend their lives wanting things, and sometimes very important things and very worthwhile things, but things that they're not meant to have. So you could spend your life lamenting what you don't have. You could spend your life hinging your happiness on things that may occur, may not occur in the future. Or you could find the inner strength to be able to find life contentment and enjoyment in what you do have. And the greatness of David HaMelech is, although what he wanted was to build the Beis HaMikdash, David was different because God told him it's not going to happen. The great challenge we have is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not communicate with most of us. If you think he does communicate with you, see me after the class. But again, David HaMelech is different because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're not building the Beis HaMikdash. So David HaMelech realizes what he's going to do, what he's not going to do. But the greatness of David HaMelech is he doesn't spend his life lamenting what did not occur. Instead, again, he finds an incredible shlemus, an incredible sense of completion and contentment in the God-given task he was given, namely the purchase of the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. So we continue this week. So number one, I just quoted to you the kapitel again. And this week I want to focus on two sentences in this particular kapitel, focusing specifically on Psukim Gimel and Dalet. So I put over here in between sources 1 and 2, I isolated just Pasuk Gimel. Miya Ale Behar Hashem. So David HaMelech says, who will ascend the mountain of God? Umiya Kum Bimkom Kadsho. And who will stand in his holy place? So what does this mean? So if you take a look at number 2, Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says, Miya Ale Behar Hashem. And this is so profound. Afa pi shekol yoshvei tevel shalom. See, here's what's interesting. Because how did David HaMelech begin this kapitel? LeDavid Mizmor, LaHashem Haaretz Umlo'o, Tevel V'yosheva. Which means what? Which God owns everything. And not only does God own everything, but what? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. That's the fundamental difficulty we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik writes about this extensively, that on one hand, we spend our lives trying to come close to God. We spoke about in different shiurim how sometimes we struggle with feeling distant and removed from God, but yet we also theologically know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So on one hand, even in those times where I feel a little bit distant, I know that in reality, I'm not distant at all. So that's what David HaMelech is saying. LaHashem ha'aretz umlo'o, tevel v'yosheva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anywhere and everywhere in this world, in the universe. And yet, what Rashi says in number 2, Afa pi shekol yoshei tevel shalom, even though the world is God, the inhabitants of the world are God, nevertheless, ein hakol kedai likarei velav. Not everyone is kedai. What does kedai mean?
Worthy. worthy. Not everyone is worthy of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here is one of the most amazing, almost anomalies in Judaism. You know, we say many of the custom at the opening chapter of Pirkei Avos, so we say, Amech Kulam Tzadikim, everyone is a tzadik in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we also operate with the idea of Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelik Leolam Haba. Now, what does that mean? So, of course, on a basic level, what it means is literally every single person has a portion of the world to come. But what does a portion of the world to come represent? It represents a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here's what's interesting in Judaism. On one hand, each of us have an entitlement. I know that's a bad word to use in today's society. But each of us have an entitlement to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But just because I'm entitled to it doesn't mean it actually occurs. Because there's an entitlement, which means it's magiali, so to speak. I can have it, but I have to earn it. So the relationship with God is there, the potential is there, but it's only actualized if I do something to earn it. So according to Rashi, that's what David HaMelech is saying. On one hand, yes, God, you own the universe, you own all of us, and therefore by definition we are in a constant state of relationship. Because if you think about it, every time I mentioned this before, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev comments on the Pasuk in Tehillim of Kol HaNeshama Tahalel Ka. Kol Neshama Tahalel Ka literally means every neshama will give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Medrash writes, B'chol Neshima U'Neshima Tahalel Ka. A little bit of a play on words. Instead of vocalizing it as Neshama, say it Neshima. With every breath, I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? So the Rebbe Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says so beautifully that every time I exhale, my neshama yearns to jump out of my body. My neshama doesn't want to be here. My neshama wants to ascend back to the celestial sphere. Every single time I exhale, my neshama wants out. And what happens every single time I exhale? The Ribono Shel Olam orders my neshama to stay in my body. Ain relationship gedola mizo. Right? There is no greater relationship than that. Every single time I take up, God is willing me to live every single moment. And yet, although the relationship is de facto, meaning it has to happen because I can't exist without a relationship, a true meaningful relationship must be earned. Must be earned. It's our Miya Aleh Bahar Hashem. There should be some extra sheets in the back. It's not over here. Miya Aleh Bahar Hashem. Ultimately, again, so who is the one? So Rashi's saying, David HaMelech is saying, is you have to earn that relationship. Miyala, not anybody could ascend the mountain. Not just anybody could have a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see what you have to do to earn it, but it has to be earned. The Radak says the same basic idea. Miyala b'har Hashem yokom mikom kadsho, she'ein ro'oi l'chol adam she'yale bo. Not every person could ascend the mountain. L'fi shehu makom ha'kodesh v'hatshuva, because ultimately, it's a place of holiness, is a place of repentance. So what's happening over here is David HaMelech is telling us something amazing. I want a relationship with God. You want a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Wonderful. It's not just going to come to you. It's not just going to appear. I have to be ready to work. What the work is, we'll see in just a moment. Look at number four. The Malbim, same basic idea, but with a little bit of a twist. Aval mi ya'aleh b'har Hashem. V'gamim yimtza mi she'ya'aleh Hashem lefi sha'a Miyakum bimkom kadsho. So it's interesting. The Malbim notices that David HaMelech uses two different words: miyale, who will ascend, umiyakum, and who will stand. So it says the Malbim, what's the difference between ascending and standing? A person could ascend and then just as quickly what? Descend. Yakum is a lashon of stability. Yakum means I'm standing in place. I'm not moving. So the Malbim says something absolutely amazing. He says, "Mi ya'aleh b'har Hashem, v'gamim yimtza mi she'ya'aleh Hashem lefi sha'a, u'mi yakum bimkom kodesho." There are plenty of people who are able to go ahead and ascend, but they can't stay in place. So they ascend and they very quickly descend. The question is, "Mi yakum bimkom kodesho?" Who could stand in a place of holiness? She'ya'amot sham b'divekuso v'yishalich lifnei Elokim b'kodesh. Who is the person who could stand in place in a state of clinging, connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to walk before God? Halo lazet. Okay, it goes on. So what's happening over here is the following. So David HaMelech begins by making a statement. And what David HaMelech is saying is, remember, this is why the context is very important. This is the David Mizmor. David HaMelech is in a state of spiritual elation. But he says, you know, in life, I have to figure out for myself what ingredients are necessary. Miya'aleh b'har Hashem. What do I need to do in order to ascend the mountain? And that's why kapitlach like this are very exciting. Because there are times when David HaMelech gives us information, and there are other times when David HaMelech gives us a roadmap. This is a roadmap kapitel. This is the kind of kapitel where David HaMelech is not just saying, be close to God, have a relationship with God, but David HaMelech is going to tell us, I'm going to tell you how to accomplish that. Mi ya'aleh b'har Hashem. How, not just because God wills me to live, doesn't automatically mean I have a meaningful relationship. I have to establish that relationship. The Malbim says, and you know the interesting part, what's the greatest challenge? What's the greatest challenge in spirituality? It's spiritual sustainability. You know, everybody likes the spiritual high. Everybody likes that feeling of spiritual elation. And we all get those highs, which are good highs, over the course of the year. And different things do things for different people. But a spiritual high is nice, but a spiritual high is fleeting. The goal for a Jew is spiritual sustainability. What do I need to do in order to go ahead and create a sustained, ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the difference is that sometimes when they're like many life relationships, there are periods when it's passionate and there are periods when it's not as passionate. There are periods when it's very exciting. But that's the nature of relationships. Relationships are ever evolving. The commitment is there, even if, you know, I'm not, even if on the emotional Richter scale, you know, it's not off the charts. So that's according to what David HaMelech is saying. It's not just simply Miya Aleh B'har Hashem. It's not just simply how could I ascend the mountain? Because God, as I mentioned many times, the greatest challenge we often encounter is many of us just want to be friends with God. We like to keep it platonic, right? I'd like to see other people. You know, I'm not ready to settle down yet. And we laugh, but it's really true. We have, most of us have real commitment issues. Because commitment means, Ribono Shel Olam, I give myself over to you. And while it's nice to say and easy to say, it comes with a whole variety of different obligations. So most of us kind of like to be, we're friends with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think there's potential in this relationship. I can see it going places. But I need a little bit more time. The truth is many of us take until our 80s and 90s, and some even take until 120. And they're still deciding about what do I really want in a relationship. So David HaMelech is saying, God, I'm not interested in that relationship. I'm a monogamous kind of guy. I'm a one God man. And so ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am interested in settling down with you. I'm interested in forging a relationship. And what I need to try to figure out for myself is, Miya Aleh, how can I come close? I don't want to worship you from a distance. I don't want to be here and you're over there. I want to be Miya Aleh El Bahar Hashem. I want to come close to you. And not only that, how do I reach the level of sustained spirituality? How do I sustain this level of relationship? Which then leads us to the next pasuk. If you skip down right after number 4. So David HaMelech gives us the answer. So again, how do I ascend the mountain? How do I establish a relationship? How do I keep sustained spirituality? Niki kapayin, uvar levav. I have to be a person who has clean hands. Var levav, a pure heart. Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, who has not taken my, that's with a capital, my, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain, lo nashav nafshi, velo nishpat lemima, and has not sworn deceitfully. Okay, so first of all, you know that whenever something sounds so simple, there is one thing that it's not, and that is simple. Right? So David, okay, so what do I need to do to ascend the mountain? Which again, remember, ascending the mountain is a metaphor for spiritual intimacy. What do I need to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what do I need to do to sustain my spiritual connection with God? So David HaMelech says, clean hands, pure heart, don't swear in vain, and don't swear deceitfully. So the obvious question is, what do these things mean? So I want to share with you a couple of different approaches. If you look at number 5, the Radak says over here, Niki kapayim uvar levav, asher nasa lashav nafsho, v'lo nishpa lemima. He says, "V'hine hiskir shloshes tichunos ha'adam b'pasuk zeh." What David HaMelech is referring to are the three parts of man's persona or man's identity: ha'ma'aseh, v'ha'machshava, v'ha'dibur. Says the Radak, these refer to the three dominant parts of man. Niki kapayim. What does it mean to have clean hands? Actions. What do I do in life? Everybody could talk a good game. I could preach. At the end of the day, what do I do? What are my business dealings like? What are my interpersonal dealings like? How do I treat the other? Niki kapayim are my hands. Hands represent action, dynamic activity in life. Are my hands, are my actions clean? Next, bar levav. Bar levav means what? Machshava. Machshava, and this is a very hard level. Purity of thought. Purity of thought, purity of intentions. We've spoken about this in previous kapitlach, that the highest level in life is not just to do the right thing, but to ultimately have pure intentions when I do those things. Because sometimes in life, we do the right things, but the intentions aren't pure. A person could do mitzvos, a person could do chesed, a person could do plenty of things, maybe because I want the honor. Maybe I want the covet. Maybe I want the accolades. And by the way, the truth is, okay, if that's what gets me to do the right things, it's certainly not a bad way to start. But that's not the pinnacle of human accomplishment. So I want pure actions, and I also want purity of thought, purity of intention. And lastly, dibor. And that's what the Radak understands is, that has not lasher lo nasa lashav nafshi, has not sworn in vain, has not sworn deceitfully. Dibor. Speech is a very powerful thing. How does a person use their speech? Yes, of course, it's obvious a person can't use their speech in the negative fashion, lashon hara, rechilos, things like that, but just in general, you know, the power, often we focus on the negative power of speech, but there's an incredible positive power of speech as well. You could profoundly change a person's day by just saying to them the right words, a simple compliment, right? A simple nice word, a word of reassurance, a word of chizuk. These things could fundamentally change the lives of others, and in doing so, change my life as well. So says Radak, that's what David HaMelech is saying over here. So what is the key? What is the key ultimately to ascending the mountain, spiritual intimacy? What is the key to ascending the mountain, sustained spirituality? I don't just want to ascend, but I want to be an omeid. I want to be able to stand in place. So Radak says, David HaMelech tells us, purity of action, purity of thought, purity of speech. These are the three things. And we look at this and we say, I'm in big trouble, right? Meaning, okay, this is incredible, but the problem, of course, with the Radak is, give me something a little bit more digestible, right? Okay, no one's going to argue on this. This is what we all aspire to. Purity of action, purity of thought, purity of speech. Certainly a goal to aspire to. But is there something that's a little bit more interim that perhaps, again, could help us make the baby steps towards this goal? Take a look at number six. Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch takes a different approach. And again, still global. The Radak and Rav Hirsch are very global approaches in understanding this issue. So Rav Hirsch writes, Niki is superficial cleanliness, freedom from dirt. Bar is inner purity, describing a body from which every impure element has been picked out. Kaf is the hand that takes hold of a possession. Therefore, he whose possessions are pure, who calls no ill-gotten gains his own, who is pure of mind and harbors no impure thoughts within his heart. Asher, nafshi is the kri, but the ksiv is spelled nafsho. That's why, if you'll notice again, the Radak actually, when he quotes the pasuk, quotes it as nafsho, even though, which means his soul, as opposed ultimately to the pasuk which we read as nafshi, my soul. So Rav Hirsch points out, by paragraph B, i.e., he who respects his soul because it really belongs to me, and therefore will not lift up to anything that is vain or transitory, but will have it strive only for goals that are noble, ends that are neither based on vanity nor doomed to decay. Niki kapai, so that's the first part of Rav Hirsch, which is very similar to what the Radak said. Niki kapai mubar levav, no ill-gotten gains. You know, the Gemara says that you could tell a lot about a person in three different ways. Kiso, koso, kaso. And it's interesting the order there, right? So koso, kaso, we understand. What makes a person angry? It's good. Anger is a very important midah because anger represents passion, and a person has to know how to channel anger in the right way. If you have no anger, it means you're not passionate about anything. You just have to know how to channel it. Koso, what happens when you drink a little bit? You know, that's when the walls come down. What's the true me that comes out? But it's interesting what Chazal put number one, which is kiso. Kiso means your wallet, your money. You can tell a lot about a person, first of all, about how they spend their money. What's a priority? What am I spending on? What are the just because you have it doesn't mean you should spend it. So what am I spending on? That's number one. But more importantly, how do I get my money? Because we know that when it comes to the realm of making money, people, we have mastered the art of cognitive dissonance, which means that I'm from everywhere else except in business. But it's okay. There are a number of different qualifications that people make. I only have to be honest with Jews, which of course is ridiculous. You have to be honest with everybody, because clinical tests have shown that those who are dishonest with the nations of the world, it is only a matter of time until they become dishonest with their own. How you make your money, what goals do you trample on others? Do you feel that as long as you are making your parnasa, you could do whatever you need to do to gain that? That says a lot about a person. So according to Rav Hirsch and Radak, Mia Aleh Bahar Hashem, interestingly enough, which is fascinating, how do I come to create an intimate relationship with God? How do I become to be an omid? It's amazing. The first thing that David HaMelech says, according to Radak and Rav Hirsch, has nothing to do with your soul and everything to do with your wallet. What is your monetary personality like? How do you act in the business world? How do you act with your parnasa? What do you spend your money on? How free are you with your giving of tzedakah to others? That's, David HaMelech says, that is the first thing. Amazing. I would have never picked that order. That is the first thing that determines the spiritual quality of a person. And now that's why Chazal also, when speaking about the three things that tell us the true nature of a person, the order is not random either. The first thing that Chazal that tells you volumes about a person is what? Kiso. What do they do? How do they earn their money? And what do they do with their money? But then Rav Hirsch goes on and he says, paragraph C. He says, Nikikapayim and Bar Levav symbolize the mitzvah shevein adam lechavero, social justice, in both theory and practice. Asher lo nasala shav nafshi represents the mitzvos shevein adam lemakom, dutiful loyalty to God, keeping one's soul, nefesh, far away from any tumah, sheket, and to'eva. So Rav Hirsch says something amazing. He now creates categories. And in his category, Niki Kapayim Ubar Levav, ultimately, the clean hands and clean heart, Bein Adam Lechavero, interpersonal law. Asher lo nishba lemirma, that ultimately, again, excuse me, Asher lo nasha las. Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, that has not caused his soul to swear in vain, that refers bein adam lemakom. That refers ultimately in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on. What does it mean, v'lo nishba lemirma? So again, just, I want you to follow along in the pasuk. So just go back for 1 second onto the first page, just so we'll break this up. You see between 4 and 5, I quote a few of the pasuk over here. So remember, according to the Radak, Niki Kapayim, just so we have everything together, Niki Kapayim ultimately means Maisa. That refers to purity of action. Bar Levav, pure heart, refers to purity of thought. Bless you. Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi v'lo nishba lemirma, purity of speech. That's the Radak. Rav Hirsch breaks it up a little bit differently. According to Rav Hirsch, Niki Kapayim Bar Levav refers to Ben Adam Lachavero. Now it's interesting that he quotes that a clean heart is also being Adam Lachaver, which is true. What is he saying? Be sincere with people. Be sincere. Be sincere with your actions towards people and be sincere with your thoughts towards people, right? Sometimes the greatest relationship challenges we have are what? When people tell us one thing and they're really not thinking that. Or it's echad bapeve, echad balev. They're saying one thing, but they're thinking something different. You have to have relationship sincerity. So according to our verse, Niki Kapayim, cleanliness of hands, cleanliness of heart, bein adam lemakom. And next, Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, I have not taken God's name in vain. What does that represent? Bein adam lemakom. That represents sincerity in my relationship with God. And he goes on. Now back to number 6. He says, v'lo nishba lemirma, I'm in the paragraph that's marked C, 2 lines down, right in between C and D. V'lo nishba lemirma is not one who merely does not actually perjure himself, but one who never uses his words for purposes of deception. Such a man will not swear falsely in order to deceive others, nor is he a hypocrite who feigns love for God with deceitful intent. So this is quite amazing. So go back up between 4 and 5 once more to that phrase. So according to Rav Hirsch, what we have over here is Niki Kapayim Ubar Levav, clean hands and clean heart refers to what? Bein Adam Lechadero, proper interpersonal conduct, both again in deed as well as in thought. Asher lo nasal ashav nafshi, I have not sworn deceitfully. That ultimately represents what? Bein adam lamakom, I have proper conduct in my relationship with God. But that last phrase, says Rav Hirsch, applies to both. Belo nishba lemirma. Lo nishba lemirma literally means I have not sworn deceitfully. What does that mean? That I don't perjure myself. I don't use my speech to go ahead and lie or to what was Rav Hirsch's word? To go ahead and purposes of deception. I never use my speech. Now this applies to both. This applies bin adam lechavero. I don't use my speech to chas v'shalom deceive anyone. And it's interesting because Rav Hirsch says it also applies bin adam lemakom. I don't use my speech to deceive God. What does that mean? So the truth is, when we make statements to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time, whether it's through tefillah, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through promises, and we have to make sure that what we say to God, we're actually genuine about. We have to make sure that, God forbid, that what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not deceptive or deceitful. What I say to God and what I say to my fellow man has to be true and has to be genuine. And I think what's also amazing over here, according to both Rav Hirsch and the Radak, is the order. And this is a theme in Sefer Tehillim. Whenever David HaMelech speaks about Bein Adam LeMakom and Bein Adam LeChavero, he always puts Bein Adam LeChavero first. Interpersonal relationships always come before our relationship with God. Why? Because from the Davidic perspective, if you don't know how to be nice to others, if you don't know how to forge meaningful relationships with others, then it is impossible to forge a meaningful relationship with God. Because other people are right here. They're right in front of me. We're tangible. We can see each other. We can connect with each other. If I can't forge meaningful relationships with human beings, it is impossible to forge a meaningful relationship with the intangible, amorphous God who I really can't even truly begin to understand. So this is the Radak and Rav Hirsch. So common denominator is... we'll review it afterwards. Take a look at number seven. The Malbim. So the Malbim is a third approach, and the Malbim says something absolutely beautiful and actually totally different than the previous two. So the Malbim writes, Niki kapayim b'maasim. So everybody's agreeing that Niki kapayim refers to one's actions. Ubar levav b'machshavosav v'deosav. And a pure heart refers to one's thoughts and one's ideals. So here's what's interesting. So far, the Malbim is saying the same thing as the Radak. Right? Malbim and Radak on the same page. Niki kapayim refers to purity of actions. Bar levav means purity of thoughts, intentions, ideas, and ideals. What about the next statement, number seven? Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi. Now, what the Malbim is intrigued by is what a strange statement. I have not sworn, literally translated, I have not taken God's name in vain. I'm not taking God's name in vain. So it says the Malbim, what does that mean? And listen to how beautiful this is. Ki be'emes, nason Hashem el ha'adam, hachanos el hashlemos v'ha'osher. In reality, God has given us all of the ingredients we need to be successful in life. You know, we often think that in order to be successful in life, I have to acquire a whole bunch of new skill sets, and I have to amass a whole bunch of spirituality in order to become successful. Mao says it's not true. Anything and everything we need in life, we were born with. We house already within us. He says, Aleph, what does that mean? Mitzad hanefesh ha'elokis, hanimtza banu, shekara b'shem nafshi. The truth is, the greatest tool and the greatest power we possess in life is something called the neshama, a soul. And what is this soul? This soul, ki hi nefesh Hashem, v'chelek ma'atzmuso yisbarach. What is the nefesh? So, there's a whole shir by itself. What is the nefesh? But for our purposes today, you know, the Balatanya writes, or Shneir Zalman of Liadi quotes in the opening chapter of Tanya, that the neshama is chelek eloka mima'al mamish. That's how the Balatanya explained it. Chelek eloka, it is a part of God mima'al, above mamish. In case you thought he wasn't telling the truth, right? Mamish, literally. Literally, this is not a metaphor, it's not a nice idea, I'm not painting for you a picture. Mamish, the neshama is a nitzutz, it is a spark of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what it means to be the Tselem Elohim. What does it mean? In the image of God, because there is a part of the Ribono Shel Olam implanted in each of us. Vihi, look what the Malbim writes. Vihi, Tolicheyu el har Hashem. See, here's what the amazing says of the Malbim. You know what the goal in life is? The goal is going to sound strange. The first goal in life is don't mess up. Why? Because if I don't mess up, there's a piece of God inside of me. And if I don't corrupt that piece of God, you know what's going to happen? It's like spiritual GPS. It knows, you know how you sometimes you could program into your GPS, go home, go home. And the amazing part is, once you program that in, you never have to program everywhere else you go. You have to put in a destination. But when you put in go home, your GPS knows how to get right there. Says the mom, here's an amazing thing. The neshama is a spark of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama naturally and instinctively wants to make its way where? To the Har Hashem. It wants to ascend the mountain. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to program it. You don't have to input information. It naturally, because remember, this is also the Baal Tanya writes, that everything in life, Maharal writes about this as well, is drawn to its source. Everything is drawn to its source. So the neshama, which is a chilek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is drawn to its source, the Ribono Shel Olam as well. It's there. It's programmed already. He says, however, im lo yisa osa lashav, as long as, literally translated, you don't swear falsely. V'divrei ruach v'heva lahash bisa mishle musa. So the Malbim says something amazing. He says, don't hijack your soul. Your soul knows where it needs to go. It knows what it needs to do. And my job in life is to try to figure out a way to listen to it. I have to figure out how to hear my neshama. The neshama dispatches messages to us all of the time about what... That's why, you know, it's interesting, and I want to be very careful when I say this. But, you know, we live in an age where the popular answer to every life situation is... No one knows. Good, Baruch Hashem. Therapy. Therapy. Oh, you're having a problem. Go to therapy. Go to Now, therapy is very useful, and therapy is very important, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this incredible body of wisdom called psychology, which is able to decipher a lot of things. But all too often in life, people use it as a crutch. Meaning, no, the first reaction to crisis is not therapy. The first reaction to crisis is, how do I figure this out? Okay, sometimes the problem is too big. Sometimes it's too overwhelming, and so I can't figure it out. Or there are other complicating factors. Then I need to get someone else to be able to help me. But that's not the first stop. What the Malbim is saying is, we all encounter challenges, and guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a little piece of himself in us, which means he has endowed us with all of the tools necessary to be successful in life. What's the what happens in life, though? What happens in life is inevitably, many of us are guilty of kidnapping. We kidnap our neshamas. We hijack our neshamas. We make bad decisions. And so what that does is it mutes the voice of the neshama. So the Malbim says something absolutely amazing. What is David HaMelech saying? How do I get spiritually close to God, intimate with God? But I don't just want to ascend. I want to stand there. I want spiritual sustainability. So what does the Malbim say? Okay, Nikika Payim, like Radak said also. You have to be honest in your dealings, like Rav Hirsch said, with your Ben Adam Lach. Bar Levav, I have to have purity of intent, a purity of ideas, of ideals. But what else? Asher lonasa lashav nafshi. I also have to make sure that I haven't hijacked my soul. I have to make sure that I'm able to hear my neshama. I have to realize that I have the tools within to be able to be successful. But the question is, have the decisions I have made in life essentially muted the voice of my neshama, that I can no longer hear it? That's what it means by sworn deceitfully. So sworn deceitfully, sworn falsely means I've created false realities for myself in my life that prevent me from connecting with my neshama. But lest you think that the pathway to the mountain of God, that the pathway to connection is so far, so obscure, I'm never going to get there, you're wrong. The GPS already has the go home button. And all I need to do is push it. But more importantly than pushing it, I have to be able to hear the directions that the neshama is giving me. And the only way to hear the directions is by creating a life for myself where the voice of my neshama can be heard over all of the other static of life. He goes on. Base. Number two. Sha'akochos asher nata Hashem ba'adam. Rubam notim latov. Person also has to realize something else, which is that the kohos, the abilities that a person, that God has planted within the individual, most of them are for good. Kimo ha-chochma v'habina koach ha-musari asher ba-adam asher ya-oreruhu v'yasru b'mosra al-atov. It's very important also. We're all born with certain predispositions, with certain proclivities, we lean towards certain things. And it's important to understand that the kohos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted within us are good kohos. They're good kohos, just very often they have to be channeled in the right way. Very rarely, we spoke about this last week, even David HaMelech is born with ruddy complexions, and we associate that immediately with Esau, with bloodshed. The greatness of David HaMelech was he channeled it. He became a valiant, he shed much blood, but he channeled it in the right way. He goes on. Va'al kavana zos amru chazal, listen to this. And chazal, this is what chazal alluded to, that the kohos that we're born with are good kohos. We just have to learn how to channel them. B'militzasam kishanotzera adam ner dolek al rosho. So what the Malbim is quoting over here is from a Gemara in Meseches Nida. If you skip down for just a moment to number 8, hold your place in 7, but go to 8. Ve'enu yotze misham. So this is the famous Gemara where the Gemara talks about the fact that when the child is in utero, so the Malach comes and learns Kol HaTorah Kula with the child, and then the child comes out, the Malach taps it on the lip, and the child forgets Kol HaTorah Kula. So there's an amazing postscript from this Gemara. Number 8. Ve'enu yotze misham ad shemashbiyin oso. There's a malach that waits right as the child is about to enter the world. And the malach does not let the child exit the mother's womb and come into the world until the child, the baby, takes an oath. What's the oath? So, Nebuch, little baby, what are you doing to the baby? But no, gotta take an oath before you come into the world. That's the oath. Tehi tzadik va'al tehi rasha. The oath that every single one of us took before we came into this world is we swore that we will be tzaddikim and we will not be rishayim. So the Malbim goes on. He says, skip down, I'm in number 7, 4 lines up from the bottom. Vashvua, what does that mean that we swore that we're going to be tzaddikim and not rishayim? So he says, the shvua is, hashvua heim, kolchos hamusorios, vahatavunios, vahamidos hatovos, Hashesulim benefesh shehem ya'asru la'asos tov. The Malbim says, you know what the oath means? The oath is that I swear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all of the kohos I have, all of the abilities I have, I will use them for good. The beautiful part about Judaism is that Rav Soloveitchik writes about this extensively in Alat Tshuva. People often make a mistake. He writes it in the context of repentance. He says that when people do tshuva, the reason why people think tshuva is so hard is because I think they have to change things about themselves. That I have to fundamentally change who I am. The Rav says it's not true. You know what you have to do in tshuva? Tshuva is not about change. Tshuva, well, it is about change, but it's primarily about sublimation. I know that I have these kohos. I have these abilities. I have these strengths. And I know that I've used them in a negative way. So what's the goal in life? The goal is just simply, don't dam off the river. Don't close off the water source. Just rechannel the tributaries. It's not about getting rid of things. It's about rechanneling things. The Chazon Ish writes, he says that Avram Avinu, there could only have been an Avram Avinu in a generation of incredible idolatry. The Chazon Ish says, Avram Avinu, there's no Avram Avinu in our time. There would never be an Abrahamic personality in our time. Why not? He says, because how does an Avram Avinu come about? You know, the Chazon Ish says, we look at the Ovdei Avodah Zarah like they're crazy, they're terrible, Avayanim. They are, of course. But the Chazon Ish writes, he says, but understand, at least people wanted to connect to something bigger than themselves. People believed that there was some greater force. All right, maybe they thought it was the idol. Maybe they thought it was the table. They were misguided. But the energy was there. So what did Avram Avinu do? What did Avram Avinu do? He took the energy for spirituality that was present in his generation, and he simply rechanneled it. The greatness of Avram Avinu was because of the fact that he lived in a time of such pervasive idolatry, because there was such power to connect to something bigger, that as soon as one person discovered how to rechannel it, yes, that's what makes an Avram an Avram. So says the Malbim something amazing. That's the Shvuah. The oath is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given me, you've implanted within me many abilities, many kohos, many strengths, and many weaknesses. But I also have to realize everything I am and everything I possess can be used for good. And the shvua I make to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is I will channel everything about me in somehow in a positive way. And the Malbim says, this is what the meaning of the pasuk. He says, "Rotzei lomar shelo over al shvua v'hargoshas hamusar v'hatov hanimtza b'nafsha kofa osa." So says Ramalbim, that's the meaning of the last phrase. Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi v'lo nishba l'mirma. I will not swear deceitfully. So the Malbim says something absolutely amazing. Let's go back. I'll show you the pasuk now according to the Malbim. So actually, let's bring everybody together. So we so far have three approaches. We have the Radak, Rav Hirsch, and now the Malbim. So let's look at all of them in the pasuk for just one moment. I'm focusing now on the phrase in between sources 4 and 5. According to the Radak, Niki Kapayim, cleanliness of action, Bar Leibav, cleanliness of thought, Asher lo nasa nashav nafshi v'lo nishba l'mirma, cleanliness or purity of speech. According to Rav Hirsch, Niki Kapayim, Bar Leibav, clean hands, pure heart, Bein Adam lechavero, Asher lo nasa nashav nafshi, Bein Adam lemakom, Velo nishba lemirma. I'm not going to lie to others. I'm not going to be deceitful in the way I verbally interact with others, nor will I be deceitful with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Radak. That's Rav Hirsch. Malbim, something amazing. Agrees with Radak. Niki kapayim, purity of action. Bar levav, purity of thought. Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, who has not taken my name in vain, I will not hijack my neshama. I recognize that my neshama will get me where I need to get to in life. The difference is I have to create a spiritually friendly environment. So that this is the big thing we often miss. We think that being a good Jew is about doing good things. That is a very small part of the equation. You know what it takes to be a good Jew? It means creating a spiritually friendly environment. The same way that the candle could only burn if there's oxygen, but you could have 15 wicks. The moment you deprive the candle of oxygen, that candle will go out. For the Jew to spiritually thrive, it's not just about what I do, but it's about the life atmosphere I create for myself. It's about the friends I have. It's about the social connections I have. It's about the things I engaged in life. What do I do? Who do I associate with? What do I allow myself to be exposed to? All of these things create the environment. So says Rav Hirsch, Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, the greatest problem we have in life, we know how to get to the destination. The GPS is already programmed, go home. But we unfortunately sometimes hijack the neshama to the point that its voice is muted. And lastly says the Malbim, V'lo nishba l'mirma. We all took an oath when we came into this world. And we, by the way, we weren't compelled to do it. We took it voluntarily, however voluntarily, because, and you'll say to yourself, how could it be voluntarily? Because remember, when we come into this world, our neshama is the strongest it ever is. There are two points in life where the Maharal claims that the neshama are strongest. One is when you're born, and as one is in the moments before death. Because those are the two moments where my spirituality is the dominant feature of who I am, and my physicality is only secondary. That's the neshama. So we all took an oath. Whether we remember it or not is irrelevant. We took it. And the oath was, I swear I'm going to be a tzaddik, and I swear I'm not going to be a rasha. And says the Malbim, what that means practically is that I swear that I will use anything and everything that makes me me somehow for good. And says David HaMelech, if I'm able to accomplish all of these things, that's ultimately how, A, I have spiritual intimacy, but not just momentary spiritual intimacy, not just fleeting spiritual intimacy, omed, I have solid, anchored, ongoing, sustained spiritual intimacy with God. Which now brings us to our last approach. Approach number 4. So I want to share something that I think is absolutely beautiful. But to see, it's not on our capital of film, it's actually on a Mishnah Maseches Avos. I actually did this, we studied this Mishnah a couple of weeks ago on Shabbos afternoon. So the Mishnah writes, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Havikal Lerosh, Benoach Letishchores, V'Havimekabalos Kala Adam B'Simcha. So Rabbi Shmuel said, literally, be yielding to a superior, pleasant to the young, and receive every person cheerfully. Okay, I'm only quoting that to you because that's what the commentary is on, but we're not going to really focus too much on that Mishnah. Look at number 10. Rabbi Lau, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, quotes Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Mipolnoy. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polnoy lives from 1710 to 1784, and he was one of the primary disciples of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So a great man. See, he writes in his Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef, an amazing idea. Mekasher bein divrei David HaMelech sheniskru le'el, lebein mishnas Rabbi Shmuel behabet nosaf. So Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polnoy
makes a link between our Kapitel Chav Dalet, Miyale Bahar Hashem, Umiyakum Imkom Kratcho, and Rabbi Yishmael's statement in number 9. What's the connection? Look at paragraph B. Adam harotze la'alos l'rosh shahar. If somebody wants to climb a mountain, just not a metaphor right now. I want to literally climb a mountain. So what do you have to do? Mishtada lifrok me'alov komasa me'yusar. If you want to scale Mount Everest, so what's the most important thing you need to know as you start out? You need to what? Carry as little weight as possible. Right? Because again, if you know, I might load up with everything. I'm saying, you know, of course I need to have chalon for Shabbos, so the crock pot's in there, everything's in there. It's obviously the more I put into that backpack of mine, the more difficult it's going to be to ascend the mountain. So everyone knows Lihi Potter, Mikol Parit Sha'alu Lahak Bidalav Ba'aliyah. There everybody who wants to climb the mountain knows excuse me that the first thing you have to do before you begin the trek is what? Examine what are you taking with you and ask yourself the very difficult question. I know I want all of this, but do I need it? And if I don't need it, I have to leave it behind. So Rav Yaakov Yosef Polnoy says, Kach linhog gam ela hamasidim hamisatitim la'alos bahar Hashem. So Rav Yaakov Yosef Polnoy says something absolutely amazing. He says the same way that if you want to ascend the physical mountain, you have to check what you're really going to take with you. So, mi ya'ale bahar Hashem. If you want to ascend the mountain of God, you really have to check what baggage you are bringing with you up the mountain. Look what he says in paragraph C. Mi ya'ale bahar Hashem, David HaMelech asks, who could ascend the mountain of God? Umi yakum bimkom kadsho, and who is the one who could ultimately stand in his holy place? What does David HaMelech say? Niki kapayim, cleanliness of hands, ubar levav, and a clean heart. So writes Rav Yaakov Yosef, Adam shenoki mikol ha'avizrayim hagashmiim hamachpidim al ha'aliyah. So Rav Yaakov Yosef chooses to understand this, speaking about materialism. That ultimately, you know, the beauty of Judaism is that we are not an ascetic religion. We do not believe that the path to God comes from divorcing yourself from the material world. There was a school of thought like that, but that school of thought, interestingly enough, did not really regenerate after the Holocaust. Right? There was a school of that, of shiflas ha'adam, of nothingness, of the world. That school of thought is not really dominant within the spectrum of Judaism today, ultimately because it's not a sustained model. You can't. So we're not an ascetic religion. So a person wants to have a nice house, you want to wear nice clothing, want to drive a nice car. You could enjoy the material world as much as you want, as long as you enjoy it responsibly. As long as your enjoyment is not an ends, but your enjoyment is a means. As long as if you're going to have that nice house, if you're going to have that beautiful dining room set, wonderful. Make sure your home is in a dress for Achnasas Archim. If you, whatever you're going to do in life, make sure you somehow use that material. So says Rav Yaakov Yosef, but what's the greatest challenge in life? It's very easy to become mired in the material world. It's very easy to think that the material world becomes the dominant fixture of our lives. It says the Rebbe, therefore, what do you have to do? If you're mired, if you're anchored in the material world, just understand, you can't ascend the mountain. Because when you're packing your bag, you have to pack in everything, including the kitchen sink. Because I can't live. These are the things that are necessary for living. That's fine. But just understand that you've made a conscious decision to live in base camp, and you're never going to ascend the mountain. Because if you need to take all of your material goods are an indispensable part of who and what you are, you're going to be anchored and tethered to this world. That's what David HaMelech says according to the Rebbe. Niki kapayim. You have to know, what does it mean niki kapayim? You have to know how to wipe your hands of certain things. You have to know ultimately that what's important to hold on to and what can you do without. What do you need in order to be successful in this world and what will ultimately keep you tethered to this world? He goes on. Adam shelibo tahor mita'av also olam hazeh. What is bar levav? Bar levav means a pure heart. What does pure heart mean? Someone ultimately who is able to free themselves from the desires of this world. The yadav nikios mita anuge haguf, and one whose hands are clean from the pleasures of the body. Misugal. Now again, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, I want to be clear, is not preaching an ascetic lifestyle. What he's preaching is a responsible lifestyle. We're material beings. We like nice things. We live in the material world. Great.
Just enjoy it responsibly and enjoy it in moderation. Don't just enjoy it as a means, as an ends, but instead enjoy it as a means. Because if your hands are not clean, if you're knee deep in materialism, if your heart spends its entire day just preoccupied with what to buy next, what to acquire next, what to physically experience next, then just understand, you're tethered to the world, and you're never going to ascend the mountain. And in fact, the Rebbe says that's the pshat actually in the Mishnah. He says that's what it means. Rabbi, back up to number 9 for just a moment. He says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, have a kal l'rosh. If you want to get to the rosh, if you want to get to the top of the mountain, what's the goal in life? You have to what? You have to make yourself kal. What does kal mean? Light. You have to lighten the load of life. And my friends, I want to tell you, this is not just about physical baggage. It has a lot to do with emotional baggage as well. There are people that walk around life with incredible emotional baggage, and much of it is warranted emotional baggage, and they haven't gone to the therapist yet, like we spoke about before, right? So people walk through life with incredible baggage. We all have baggage. The truth is, we've been hurt by people, we've been upset by people, we've been let down by people, we've let down ourselves. All of us, the truth is, are probably a case study in emotional baggage. And the truth is, most of us often don't even realize the emotional baggage we carry with us each and every day, because sometimes it's in our subconscious. We won't even think about it. So Yaakov Yosef Polnoy says, just understand that in life, when you're carrying around baggage, it's not just that it's unhealthy to carry on baggage, but the baggage weighs you down. And the more weighed down you are, the more difficult it is to scale the mountain and to get where you need to go. So according to this approach, something amazing comes out. David HaMelech says, Mi ya'ale b'har Hashem, u'mi yakum bimkom kadshom. Who is the one who ultimately is going to be able to ascend the mountain, spiritual intimacy, u'mi yakum bimkom kadshom, and create a sustained intimacy with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Niki kapayim u'bar levav. The first question I have to ask myself is, what baggage am I carrying around in life? What physical, material baggage am I carrying around? And it's true, you know, the Maharal says, it sounds like a strange statement at first, but it's very profound. The Maharal says, Ein ben chorin ela ani. The only real free person in life is the pauper. Because the truth is, we all know, mar ben echasim, mar bedaiga. The more you have, the more you have to worry about. The more you have to worry about. And the truth is, yes, on one hand, those physical things give us incredible pleasure and give us make our lives easier or nicer, but they come with a whole host of worries that the person who doesn't have them just simply lives without. So David HaMelech is saying is, you want to scale the mountain, you want sustained spiritual intimacy, what baggage am I carrying around? I have to, A, identify the baggage, material baggage, emotional baggage, and then B, learn how to check it. Check your baggage. Or more importantly, maybe even better than checking the baggage, is disposing of the baggage, letting go of the baggage. You know, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky writes, he says that many people walk around life with grudges. Of us have grudges. People, and sometimes they're warranted grudges. So Twersky writes, and he uses grudges as an example. He says, bearing a grudge is like allowing someone to live in your head rent-free. He says, so mamish, that person is doing backflips in my head. They don't care. They've gone on with their life. And I'm consumed, sir. But this, you know, at least if you could charge rent. You know, you wrong me, so you're living in my head. That's going to cost you $200 a month. All right, at least I get some. But it eats us up. And what do we get for it? We just become angry, bitter people. So and what's so profound about this is, no matter how much baggage you think you may have in life, David HaMelech had 10 times more. Right, David HaMelech, remember, and you want to talk about childhood baggage, adult baggage, David has got it all. He's got dysfunctional home life, rejected by his family. He's got problems in his marriage. He's got problems with his children. Probably the only thing he didn't struggle with was Parnassah. Right, he struggled with health issues, everything you could imagine. David HaMelech has been betrayed by everyone, has been ultimately slapped in the face by everybody. And what does David HaMelech say? I have made a conscious decision to let go of my baggage. It doesn't mean you forget your baggage, because you never really forget anything in life, but that's okay. There's a way to remember, but yet not be weighed down by it. So David HaMelech says, and by the way, now we also understand why it's LeDavid Mizmor, not Mizmor LeDavid, because there is no greater joy in life than the moment when you are able to put down your bags and keep walking forward. No greater joy in life than when you disassociate from the things that are weighing you down, that are keeping you from ascending the mountain, and you cut ties with them and say, you know what? I don't want to shoulder that anymore. Sometimes you have to bring your own. People in life often wait for others to bring closure to their problems. Don't wait for others to bring closure to your challenges, but rather find the courage to bring your own closure. And if you bring your own closure, if you go ahead and disassociate from your own life baggage, David HaMelech says there's one guarantee. You will be Ola Bahar Hashem, and not just for temporary intimacy, but ultimately a person will be able to see the actualization of Umiya Kumbim Kom Kadsho. The only way ultimately, so if we bring this all together, what David HaMelech is telling us is something amazing, that you want a spiritual intimacy, sustained spiritual with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, I need Ben Adam L'Makom, I need to be true to people, and I need to be true to God with what I say. I need to not hijack my soul. I need to honor the oath that I made when I came into this world, and I need to identify the baggage, cut my ties with it, so I could ascend the mountain and become the person I need to be. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We're going to continue, Amir Hashem, with Kapitel Chaf Dalet next week. We have one more week of Chaf Dalet.